Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. I'm just confirming if you can hear me clearly and crisply. Okay. Am I loud and clear? Okay. Okay. Thank God. So, the title of my a little charge is "The Just Shall Live by Faith," and you can put a column and write, "We have not believed in a lie." And I'll say it again, "The just shall live by faith," and a column or semicolon, "We have not believed in a lie." While the prayers and everything was going on, I believe the Spirit of the Lord is one, and my brother had already carried some prayer points that were part of my notes here, and I just thank God for that confirmation. And the song kept on coming to my mind, and I'll just sing it once and then we dive into the word, because I believe that's the trajectory that the Spirit will have us go this morning. And the song, you may not know it, but just ignore my voice, it's the words that matter. Amen. It says, "Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. I pray, but not I that pray. I pray, but not I that pray. It's the Spirit that dwells within me, oh. I pray, but not I that pray." Amen. That's just a snippet of what the Lord would have us, or the understanding that the Lord will want us to have today. That we are his bone of his bone, his flesh of his flesh. We've been justified by Christ. The life we now live, it's not ourselves, but it's Jesus Christ that lives through us. And while I was praying towards this message, actually almost a month or two ago, the Lord gave a prophetic vision or a word or pretty much an utterance or a direction that he would want the house to know to aid our walk, especially in this time. And that dream or vision that came, I just saw a lot of peril going on. And it wasn't even just this COVID time. It seemed like it was another time, like after this period that we're in. And it looked like there was a lot of chaos, even worse than what was going on. And the counsel that the Lord was putting forth through that message or through that vision was, his people need to build themselves up in faith. His people need to build themselves up. He has given us this chance, or he has given us this opportunity to build ourselves up, so that the challenge that comes ahead or the challenges that come ahead, his people will be thoroughly furnished and won't be moved by everything that comes around. Won't be moved questioning, why is this happening? Why is that happening? We'll be so established in the Lord that nothing, the wind or the affairs of life, be it sickness, be it wars, be it perils, none of them would come close to the dwelling place of God's people. So, when my brother was speaking of faith, if we check, there's so many scriptures that speak about faith. But before we jump into that, we'll backtrack into the book of Malachi, and we'll take some things there, because before we even speak of faith, or before we speak of this new order, we see that God spoke to his servant. In the book of Malachi, he spoke of a time that will come. the ushering in of the kingdom age of God. And that kingdom age, John the Baptist was preaching over and over. He said, repent. And the word repent there means change the way you think. A lot of our Christian life in this New Testament time, or in this new age whereby Jesus Christ has died and resurrected, is predicated upon faith, upon the way we think. The way we think is very, very important in this time. And I'll have us to be very, very diligent, you know, as we go through this message. And hopefully the Lord will help us reorient the way we think. And just a word of caution that also came while the prayer was going on. It's very important that we gather corporately. As important as it is to gather corporately and pray corporately, it's also important that we also build ourselves, or we pray also in our private rooms. Praying corporately, sometimes I see it as the tip of the iceberg. But what we do with our time, the rest of the days or the rest of the week, is also very, very important, if not even more important than when we come together. Because when, as one of my brothers said, if we have a microscope or a camera or a lens to see what we are using our time to do during the week, it will amaze us how, I don't want to say how far, but it will amaze us how we are not really diligent with our time, or we are not really giving in as much as God will want us to give in this time to bring his kingdom, or usher his kingdom, or pray prayers that would bring a change to our society. Because it's not only what we do corporately, but most importantly, it is what we do in our private rooms. So we take the inspiration from the corporate gathering and we take it into our closets and we close ourselves and pray. We pray the will of the Father. We do so many things, and not just in prayer, but also actively taking what the Lord has inspired or imprinted in our hearts. Be it maybe writing a little write-up. I'm just giving an example. It might even be to go knock on your neighbor's door or check up on your friend to see how are you doing, or how are they doing. Because the kingdom of God is in us, as we would see later on through the study of the word. We'll see that the kingdom of God cannot be, it's not just in talk, but then there's also a demonstration of spirit and power. And our brother James also spoke very good of what it means. He said, show me your faith and I'll show you my faith by my works. So there's also a part that we ought to play. It's not just all in the corporate gathering, but also in our closets. And also in our closets, the Lord will give us instructions, and we must act upon those instructions so that the kingdom of God indeed will be established in this land. We see Jesus as an example. I'll backtrack before I go forward. Sorry. Okay. So as important as it is for us to, for us to give ourselves to the Lord privately, it's also important for us to go out or carry the instructions that God has imprinted in our hearts, you know, to do so many things. Because I believe in this time, as our brother preached last week, the manifestation of the sons of God is indeed at hand. The showcasing of the kingdom of God, which is already in us, must find full expression in each and every one of us. That anywhere we are, whether we are at work, whether we are in school, we should be elements, we should be oozing the light of God. And that's why the scripture says we are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but instead they put it on a table so that to shine light to the whole room. So that is just a little bit of what we'll be talking about. But before we even go into that in more details, we'll go back to the book of Malachi chapter 3. And I'll be reading from the verse 1. And this is just speaking of the kingdom age, or John ushering in the kingdom age of the Most High. Because in the past, they've been preaching about a kingdom, a lifestyle. You see that a lot of the people, or the Israelites, were thinking that it was God coming to reign as king, you know, in the land of Israel, restore it to be almost like a powerhouse to all the nations. But we see that through the lenses, or through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we see that it's something bigger than that. It's a kingdom that depends on each and every one of us. each and every one of us have an important role to play in this kingdom. Yes, God is king and everything, but we are also a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that we should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness and transformed us, or has brought us into the kingdom of his dear son, the kingdom of light. So there's also a part that we play. It's not just God reigning supreme, but it's also we as a body, as the church, Christ being the head, the body and its members finding a full expression as God will have it to have us find expression here on earth. And a very good example of this was a situation that happened to someone I know very dearly. The person hit his leg and was going through a lot of excruciating pain. And that pain was causing a headache, for example. It's just to show us the ministry of the body, or how interconnected we are as a body. The leg was in so much pain and it was giving him headache. And when we look at this, or the functioning of a human body in that light, we see that if one part of the body is sick, or if one part of the body is not functioning properly, the head or the another place may feel it. It might be one of our lymph nodes, for many of us that are a little bit in the medical places. Lymph nodes sometimes just show that something is wrong, or there might be an infection somewhere. So we see that the body is interconnected in its own special way, and that's what Jesus wants us to know in this time. So going to the book of Malachi, I'll be reading from the verse 1. It says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me," speaking of John the Baptist, "and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts," speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the verse 2 says, "But who shall abide in the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap." The verse 3 now, and it says, "He shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi," symbolically or spiritually speaking of us, the royal priesthood, Levi being a priest, and we being priests of the Most High. As 1 Peter chapter, I believe it's chapter 2 said, it says we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. It says he shall sit and he shall purge them as gold and silver. He shall purge us as gold and silver, that we may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in the former years. So looking at this scripture, it says, he shall sit on us that we may be able to offer an offering in righteousness. Brethren, we are righteous. We are holy. I like the book of Romans emphasizes how it is no longer, we are not justified by the works or by our works, but by faith. Justification through faith. We are justified by the finished work of Jesus Christ. When God looks on us, he sees Jesus Christ. It's very important for that truth to sink in the heart of a believer, that we are righteous no matter what we do. A very good example is Joshua the high priest in the Old Testament, when the devil was railing accusations on him, and when saying so many things. Yes, his garment was filthy, but God rebuked the devil. He said, the scripture just skipped my mind. It says, "The Lord rebuke you." The scripture just skipped my mind. But we just see, yes. Say, is this not a branch plucked out of fire? We see that the expectation, or even this is in the old economy. But the way the Lord looked at Joshua the high priest, he saw him from a point, or he's a minister of the Lord, and the devil has no right to accuse any one of us that are fellow or co-heirs in the kingdom of God. The devil has no right. It must sink. This is truth. this is the truth that every believer must walk in. If not, we'll be walking in condemnation. Anytime that we forget to pray or we forget to do something, condemnation, doubt will start coming. But we must sink, this truth must sink down in our mind that we've been justified by faith, not of works. We are not justified by the works of, I prayed 5 hours a day, I prayed 11 hours a day. No, we are justified by faith. We are righteous. We are holy. We don't work for all of these things. It is an estate of the believer. Hallelujah. So as Matthew chapter 3 verse 2 spoke, very rightfully speaking, it says, repent, change the way you think, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Back then, the kingdom of God was at hand. But we know we are now living in the kingdom age. We need to change the way we think. And then the kingdom of God will find full expression in each and every one of us. I don't want to get ahead of my myself. Sorry. I'll just say, glory be to God. Okay. So it says, he shall purge the house of Levi, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, prophetically speaking of us, and purge them as silver and gold, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. So anything we do when we walk by faith, the word of God says, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Sorry, a message just came in and just distracted me. But when we walk in the spirit, we won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. Now we're not being justified by our works or the things that we do by our hands. We're not justified by, oh my God, I went to church today. Oh, I prayed 5 hours. I went on evangelism. But we're justified according as we walk in this, according to the spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus. We'll be looking at that later on. But now we'll jump to Matthew chapter 3 verse 2. Matthew chapter 3 verse 2. And I'll read. I'll read from the verse 1. And it says, in those days, which we've already seen, John the Baptist coming from the Malachi chapter 3. He says, in those days, John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And we have already explained this, or we have already seen that the word repent means to change the way we think, change our orientation. The kingdom of God is a structure. It's a method of governance that would infect, or I would, let me not say infect, but it's a method of governance that would end up through you and I, through us as believers, will end up spreading round the whole earth. It's just a way of thinking, a lifestyle, a different culture, different from the carnal mindset, whereby we walk by the operation of our 5 senses. But in this kingdom, we walk according to the spirit of life. Hallelujah. So when we further dig into this kingdom, thank you, Jesus. When we further dig into this kingdom, we see that the kingdom of God is a lifestyle, as I've said, or a kingdom. If we look at the British monarch, or we look at any kingdom that might have been in the past or anything, we see that there's a way they think, there's a way they do things, there's a structure, there's an order. If we look at the Roman Empire, for example, they had an emperor, or they had an emperor. There was a way that when they colonize you, if they come into your city and they break all your defenses and they are now colonizing you, for example, there are methods or patterns that they change. You know, either you begin to use their currency, you begin to speak their language, you know, they infiltrate wherever they are. And the same thing we see, I mean, for most of us that are from Nigeria, we see when the British came into Nigeria, I believe we changed even our currency. We began to use pounds. We began to speak. I mean, now we speak English. It just shows you that a kingdom is a lifestyle. It's something that it's wherever it goes, it's meant to be obvious. Whether we are at work, whether we are at school, no matter where we are, it should be evident that we are sons of God. It should be evident that we are of the kingdom of heaven. And we should not be, I don't want to jump. Anyways, so when we see Paul was speaking about the kingdom of God, he said the kingdom of God is not in meat or drink, but in righteousness and in peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And this is Romans chapter 14, verse 17. And let us go there. Okay, let's go to first. We'll read from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Amen. Okay. Okay, yeah, I'm there now. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing, all these things shall be added unto you. And looking in this in more perspective, God was speaking, or Jesus was speaking about worry. He was speaking about, you know, worrying, what you eat, what you drink, and all those things. But he gave a commandment here, and he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing will be added unto you. And speaking of the kingdom, which we've already explained, it's a pattern or a lifestyle that those of those kingdom, or the citizens of those kingdom, express wherever they are. Wherever someone from England goes, he shows off that he's English by his, it might be his accent, it might be him even speaking English, it might be his love for tea. It's something that the British people like. You could just tell that, oh, this person is not from France. Someone from France may be very passionate about bread or his cuisines or spaghetti. Or it just shows you it's a mold that anybody coming from any place thinks a certain way. And John had told us that we ought to change the way we think, for the kingdom is at hand, or the kingdom is now, which we are living in. And the first thing in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, which I would read, it says, for the kingdom of God is not in eating or drinking or meat or drink, but of righteousness, of peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I'll be looking at all these three things to gain more understanding on the expression of the kingdom of God. And very, very important for us to know, or to note, is that the kingdom of God first finds expression in us, then it begins to find expression outwardly, like to those who are around us or something. It's first the work that God does within us. And when he does the work within us, it begins to overflow to those that are around us. And righteousness, we'll be taking the first one, which is righteousness, because there are three things that have been spoken here. It says righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We'll be taking them one by one and looking and expounding, seeing what does righteousness mean, how does righteousness even fit in my life, or something like that. But let's go to righteousness. So righteousness simply is, I think, a very good place to start with. That will be Romans chapter 1, from verse 16 to 17, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, so I read. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we see that righteousness here, or when we look at this maybe a little bit slower, which I'll read a little bit slower, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus." It's important that the gospel that we believe in, or when we read and we understand this, we see that the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we believe in it, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. When we believe in the gospel, or when we believe in Jesus Christ, we are automatically righteous. We are automatically, we are automatically not walking after the law or the precepts of the law, which I don't want to go so much into it. I believe most of us are familiar with it. But when we give up, and when we walk according to the law, you know, I can say, oh, I didn't do this, I prayed, I did this, I did that. We can boast in our own righteousness. But we know by our righteousness to God is like filthy rags. No matter what we do, or no matter how the estate we build ourselves to, or no matter how much we try to keep all the commandments of God, it's all filthy rags. But now the lifestyle as a believer, or the lifestyle that we ought to live, is through is by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. When we believe in Jesus, we walk not according to the precepts of the law, but according to the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, according to the leading of the Spirit. And the Word of God says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So we see that it's a change from our own strength, but to the reliance on the strength of the Holy Ghost as He works in us, as God works in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Hallelujah. So He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." Believe is key. But we see that when we believe on this gospel, or when we believe on the gospel of Jesus, we see that therein is the righteousness of Jesus Christ revealed from faith to faith. And it says, "The just shall live by faith." So anybody who wants to feel, anybody who gets his justification from his works or from anything else, it's not after the walking of Christ or after the gospel of Christ. It's as filthy rags before the Lord. Hallelujah. So righteousness is just is us believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ and forgoing everything. I mean, forgoing all the things that we hold by our strength or by this, I did this, and taking it word for word. As the Lord tells us to do something, if Scripture says something, we take it as that is what God wants us to do. If Scripture says don't do this, you know, we don't do that. If God, and by Scripture I mean the inner witness in us, because God works in us gradually, you know, revealing Himself gradually. We don't have to look at oh my God. That's where now, when we compare ourselves with ourselves, you know, as Paul says, they that compare themselves with themselves are not wise. When we compare our work with someone else's work, we may begin to suffer loss, or we may begin to run down, because we are not walking according to the inner witness that is within us, which is the Holy Ghost reproving us, telling us what to do, giving us direction in this path that we are in. So it's very, very important as a believer to walk according to the inner witness of the Holy Ghost, which dwells in each and every one of us. When we gave our life to Christ, the Holy Spirit came and dwelled in us, and He's the one directing us. He's the one telling us what to do. The Word of God says we have an unction from the Holy One, and we know all things. We do not need any man to teach us, but the same anointing, or the same Spirit within us, is teaching us and guiding us in all truth. Hallelujah. So it's very important for us to walk according to the dictates and the mandates, whatever God impresses in your heart, whatever God tells you to do. It's very important to take it very, very seriously. And by taking it very, very seriously, we see that when God gives us a direction, this is just speaking from experience, or when God tells me, I mean, this has even happened to me in the past, the Lord instructed me to do something and I took it for granted. granted. And lo and behold, I was speaking to someone else and the person came and was telling me, oh, God told him to do this. And the person acted on it. And I mean, it was glorious. And it was very, very magnificent. So it's something that we should not take for granted. When God instructs us, oh, Daniel, oh, Chidera, do this, do that. If we take it for granted, those words will begin to, how will I put it? It's just like when your mom or when your dad tells you to, before they go out to work, they tell you to wash the dishes. And then after some time, it's ringing in your head. Then you decide to go and maybe you go out to play ball with your friends. You know, it's just like the memory of what they told you to do is a little bit fading and fading until the day that, or until the time that they come back. Then it's like, oh my God, I should have been doing this. I should have been doing that, you know. And then we run and we try to either sweep the room or something like that. But we see the activities of life, you know, life goes on. When God tells us to do something and we don't take it seriously, you know, the affairs of life, so many things may want to choke or swallow that word from us. And sometimes the time that we realize, oh my God, I should have done this. Sometimes it might be too late or the season might have even passed. And sometimes our parents back then, they'll come back and realize that we didn't wash the plates or we didn't defrost the chicken that they told us to defrost, and you know, we get in trouble. But that is not what any of us will go through. And the second part I'll be speaking about is peace. And peace is a lifestyle. Peace is knowing that the Lord is in control. The book of Romans, I believe Romans chapter 3 verse 17 was speaking about peace. It says, this one was speaking of those who do evil, if you're looking at in context, and it's made a statement was made here, and it says, the way of peace they have not known. So we see that peace is a way, or it's a path that every believer who is sensitive to the walking of the Lord should experience or must experience. When our peace leaves us, or when we, you know, sometimes we feel uneasy. It might be, I'll give a very good analogy. Sometimes when you're about to go on a trip, for example, or when you're about to do something, I'll use a very good example, actually. This happened during the bomb blast times in Plateau. And there was one of my friend I was speaking to who wanted to go to the market that day. And I think all of a sudden, he said his body is doing him somehow, or he was just uneasy about going to that market. And lo and behold, there was a bomb blast, you know, and he said he's not really sure, but it was close to the area that he might have been, you know, only God knows, maybe he might have been a casualty. But we see that the Lord directs our path. He gives us the inner witness of peace to know whether we are in the right path or whether we are out of the way of or any of some sort or any sort. And we see that it's important for us to be sensitive, to be very, very sensitive to the promptings or the yieldings of the Holy Ghost within us. And also in this kingdom of God, there's another thing that is very, very important, and that's joy. The Bible or the scripture says in James chapter 1 verse 2, I'll just go there and then we'll just pick a little principle from there. But we see that in this kingdom of God, we are obviously going to suffer persecution. We're going to suffer trials. We'll go through so many trials, whether it's the trial of our faith, whether we are put before people, maybe pressures at work for us to kind of denounce Christ, or for us to kind of, soak in or just be passive about things, I mean, almost like denying Jesus at that point. But we see as believers, James instructing us what to do, and it's something that is very, very important. The estate of every believer or a believer must experience joy, giving joy or rejoicing in everything that comes their way, whether good or bad, we must rejoice. And we'll see a very, very good example in James, and then we'll also go to the book of Acts. Hallelujah. It says, my brethren, I'm reading the chapter 2, sorry. So I'm reading James chapter 1, verse 2. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." It says, "But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." So we see that here, when we go through diverse trials, when we go through diverse challenges, you know, it's a thing of joy. We should have this mindset that, oh, when I'm being tested for something, we shouldn't be like, ah, me again, here I go again, or something like that. No, our mindset should be set that, oh, this thing is a trying of my faith. And when I'm being tried, it's just like when a phone is made, for example, and they say the phone is water resistant. They may have to test that phone, you know, inside water. But the phone cannot be complaining. Or sometimes when we complain, it's almost as though we are, how do you put it? We lose focus of the new person or the kingdom that is at work within us. We ought not to complain, but we ought to rejoice, as the apostles did in the book of Acts chapter 5 verse 41. And this was when they were scourged and they were told not to preach the gospel again, or not to preach Jesus Christ again. And Acts chapter 5 verse 41 tells us that their mindset, this was a change of mindset. Usually in life, when things or trials go through us, you know, it's very easy for us to be sad or look down, or why me? Why me? As one of my mentors used to say, why not you? Or should it be someone else? You know, so as believers, we ought to count it joy when we go through diverse trials, because we know that these things work in us the character of Christ. Even Jesus Christ, our forerunner, he said, for the joy set before him, he endured. How does that scripture put it? He endured the cross, despising the shame, you know. So it's something that when we see the end goal, or when we see the hope, you know, Christ has called us not to silver and gold or meat and drink, but he has called us to a hope that is stored in the heavens, reserved for each and every one of us, a body, a new body that won't see death again, that a life that, as I believe Revelation chapter 21, where there'll be no more sorrow, where there'll be no more crying, a life whereby we'll sit, we'll rule and reign with Christ. There's so much that is stored up for us. So when we go through so many trials, or when we go through so many things, we should take the example of our brothers or the apostles here in Acts chapter 5 verse 41. And I read, it says, "And they departed," this after they had beat them. It says, let me see where I'll read from here. I'll read from verse 41. And it says, "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer the shame," or to suffer the shame for his name. It says, "And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ." So we see that rejoicing, or this kingdom, is not a kingdom that is without, will I say, resistance. There's obstruction. Sometimes it might even be, you know, as in here, we see that they scourge them, they beat them for preaching the gospel, you know, to many, and they were scourged and they were warned, like, not to preach again. But we see that there was resilience. And the scripture that comes to my mind, it says, "Since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent take it," or lay hold of it, "but the violence taketh it by force." So we see that it's a kingdom of resilience. We must be built, we must be ready to go through so many trials, so many temptations, because therein is God molding and perfecting us. Therein characters or flaws and everything is being chipped away. It's being chipped away gradually and gradually. That's why James said, "Count it joy when you go through diverse trial, knowing that the trial of your faith works patience." And he said, say, let patience have its perfect work, that we may be entire, that we may be fully furnished, and we won't be wanting in any area. So we know that this is the work of perfection going on in our life. Whenever we are met with any resistance of any sort, going or evangelizing or doing the will of God, we should not be cast down. We should not. It's a mindset. It's a change of orientation that is within us, that no matter the obstacles, we'll continue to persevere unto the end. That whatever the laws or whatever may be set that may look as an obstacle, we would forge on. We'll go on. We won't be discouraged by the so-called circumstance of life. Hallelujah. Amen. So speaking of the change of mindset, we see that Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10, I'll be reading from the B part. Just give me 1 second as I flip over to Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10. And we'll just be drawing a little principle from here also. Nehemiah. Amen. I'll just use my physical Bible. Amen. If somebody is there before me, you know, if you can just help me read Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10. And it's the B part. Yes. Go on. Yes. So speaking of the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is our strength. When we are connected to Christ, when we are, you know, through our daily devotion, through our prayers, and by devotion, it's not just restricted to our quiet time, but through our daily going on, we must be 24/7 connected to Christ. And it says what? The joy. It says, how does he put it, my brother? The first place before the joy of the Lord is our strength. Neither be ye sorry. Mm-hmm. Yes. So it says, neither ye be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. And also, I'll have you read Psalm 139 verse 8, please. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Mm. I think it's okay. Yeah. But the most important thing is, whatever we go through, any situation or any circumstance, we mustn't lose sight that God is there with us in all times. Whether it's going through, I don't have rent to pay today, I don't have this to do, or no matter what it is, sometimes you may just feel like you're alone. Nobody understands you. Nobody does this. They are not actually truth. You know, they are just things that come from, you know, either the things we've been through in life. You know, we can, for someone who has, like anywhere they go, they've been taking advantage of them. There's a vantage point, or there's a way you interpret when someone does something. It might not necessarily be true, but it says, no matter where we are, as that verse said, you know, it says God is there with us. Even if he makes his bed in Sheol or wherever he may be, no matter where you are, no matter your circumstance, you are not alone. Jesus is always with you. The Holy Ghost is dwelling with us forever. It's not something nothing. It's not take, not thy Holy Spirit. No, there's nothing you do that the Holy Ghost will leave you. You must understand this as a believer, that no matter where you've been, no matter what challenge you're going through, Jesus himself is with you. And he says, the joy of the Lord would be your strength. You must refresh or renew your mind, not to think as one who has no hope, but to think as one who has hope. And our hope is Jesus. Our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is in the finished work of the cross, because Jesus has come and he has given us, he has pretty much done the foundation. He has even done some of the, what they call it. He has done a lot for us. He has shown us how to live as sons. He has shown us how to be in line with the Father, or how to be one with the Father. He said he of himself can do nothing except that which he sees the Father do. So we, at our weakest moments, we should not look to our situations, but we should look to the inner witness, which is within us, which is the kingdom of God, which is within us, being built up small by small. You know, looking at the Holy Ghost. What is the Holy Ghost prompting in this time? When you feel dejected and no one understands you, when you feel like you're left alone in a situation, what is the Holy Ghost saying? What is Jesus saying in that situation? Hallelujah. It's very important to have our eyes or our gaze set upon Christ, no matter where we are. In the name of Jesus, I believe Jesus would work this in us. Amen. So let's move on. Speaking of all these three, we see righteousness. We see that our righteousness is not of ourselves. We see that we cannot do anything to earn this righteousness. It's not by our works. By our works are filthy before God. We see that peace. It says the way of peace they know not. We see peace is a lifestyle. It's giving. It's a giving to a believer. When your peace is taken away, you shouldn't be looking for solution elsewhere. You should go back to the source. We must go to the source. No matter when we see, you know, we have a pH scale, you know, and that's, I believe that's the inner witness from within us. When our pH scale is unbalanced, or when we feel unbalanced, we should run back to God. We should run back to God. No matter, it's just like now, when I feel like my, you know, when you are without prayer for a while, it just feels as though your senses are dull. I believe Uncle Sam even spoke a little bit. It's almost like dust settling down. You know, it's when you lose, will I say, when you're not really frequent with the connection with God by prayer, reading of the word or something, it feels as though your senses are dull. But when you're in all those situations, that's what I mean by pH scale in this context. When we find that things not going the way they ought to, we ought to run back to the source. We ought to run back to the source, which is God. And when we run back to the source, he would always have a word for us. Hallelujah. Let us go to the book of Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 2. And we'll see something, or we'll take a little bit of a principle over from there. And Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 2. I would like to read that in the NLT. Oh, just one sec as I open there. Hallelujah. Amen. While I open it, just say, tell your neighbor, run back to the source. Amen. Yes, so I'm there. And it says, I will climb, I'm just reading the chapter 1 in the NLT, and it says, I will climb up to my watchtower, and I will stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. So no matter where or whatever we are going through, wavering, you know, just looking at this scripture, let us climb back to our watchtower. Let us go back to the secret place of the Most High and stand in our place of God. And there we'll wait and see what is the Lord saying concerning our so-called complaint. It says, the verse 2 says, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. So no matter what, God would speak back to us. There's always a response back to us when we stay in the place of our guard post, or when we run back to the secret place of God. You know, there's always a response. And it says, write the vision, make it plain. I find it ironic that what he used here is write the vision. When we begin to lose focus, or when we begin to lose, when we begin to lose focus of the vision that is set before us, we begin to complain and everything. But this God now saying, write the vision and make it plain. Write the vision and make it plain upon tablets, that he that readeth may run. That he may run that readeth it. Say, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it shall surely come. It will not tarry. There's something very, very important as believers, you know, and that's waiting. Patience. It says, let patience have its perfect work. Sometimes we may be in situations or circumstances that it seems as though God has forsaken us, but we know our God shall never leave us nor forsake us. But it says, though it tarry, it shall surely come to pass. And the verse 4 is very, very key also. It said, behold his soul, which he has lifted, behold his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. He said, but the just shall live by his faith. So no matter where or no matter which circumstance we find ourselves in, we should go back to the source. We should run back to the source, which is Jesus Christ. And that's where we'll find our inspiration, or that's where we take the words that God speaks to us. He said the words he speaks unto us are spirit and they are life. They are life-giving words. So no matter which circumstance we find ourselves, when we run back to the source, when we run back to Jesus, he then gives us a word which we would take. And the word of God says Abraham believed God and it was counted for him for righteousness. So we see that when we take the word of God, or when we take that which God has given unto us, it stirs up faith from within us. When we read the scriptures, it says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we take those words that God speaks to us in our secret place, when we internalize them, you know, then, you know, our situation or our so-called circumstance will change. When we look at the patriarchs that were before us, there was something synonymous, especially Abraham, our father. There was something very, very key with them. And we see that they always had a good communion with the Lord. God giving them words to follow and what to do, or what to how they should carry out their life, you know. And we see that it brings forth fruit when God tells you to do something, you know. And so that's why it's very good, actually, not to even compare ourselves. Because if I want to take the word that God gives, let's say Eli, or God gives to Salau, for example, and sometimes it may not be what God is saying to me at that point, and I might be comparing their situation, or how they did this, or look at Eli, he did this like this, or look at Salau, he did this like this. And sometimes we neglect what the Lord is speaking to us in our secret place. The little words that is saying to us, oh, Daniel, I believe you should do this like this. But sometimes we may have another motive, or another, oh, Eli did this like this, it worked for him. Sometimes it is true, you know, we learn from other people, but it's also very important to see what is the Lord saying concerning you, because the way God deals with you might be different from the way he's dealing with someone else, you know. So it's very important for us to return to the source. So we see righteousness expressing itself that we are forever justified before God. We see peace as a lifestyle or a path that the Lord has set before us. And we see joy that no matter whatever the circumstance that may come before us, we ought to forge on. And I'll be jumping to Romans chapter 12. And we'll just see, because a majority of our walk as believers, or a majority of the walk that we go through, has to deal with the state of our mind, the state of what we see as true, or the state of I'm looking for a word here, or just where we are, you know, with our mind. We've been through so many things. We've been cheated. We've been, so many things have happened. But when we come into the kingdom of God, the first thing that we ought to do, or the thing we ought to do, is transform our mind or change the way we think. And the book of Romans chapter 12, I believe from verse 1, clearly explains that. And this is a reoccurring theme we see in the New Testament. Hallelujah. It says, now concerning... Oh, I was in 1 Corinthians. My bad. Okay. Romans chapter 12. I read. It says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. For this is your reasonable service. Another place worded this a little bit differently, which I really loved. Speaking of presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, I believe it says, for this is, let's see. Yeah, so it says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Holy and pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable spiritual service or act of worship to God. And we see that our body is very, very, or what we do as believers, because we've been set free. You know, we've been set free from the law of sin and death. We've been set free from commandments. We see that the law in itself was not bad. But the ever consciousness of sin, or the way it was, when a law comes, is to tell you that, oh, you're not doing something right, or when you do this, there's judgment attached to it. But we see that when we as Paul said, he said we should not yield our bodies as members of unrighteousness, but we should yield them as members for righteousness, or members of holiness. We see that we are set free from the parameters of the law, and we ought to walk according to the Spirit. We ought to yield our body. That means whatever we do, we ought to give our body, you know, live holy lives. We ought to consecrate ourselves. We ought to set ourselves apart. We ought to, you know, leave the things of this world. And these things God is doing or working in us, because it's not by our strength alone, but by the work of the Holy Ghost which dwells within us, a powerful force, you know, that is in us, teaching us to deny all forms of ungodly living. We see that God himself is the one that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure, separating us fully from the, what they call it, from the way the world thinks, you know, and renewing our mind to the way the spirits operates. You know, we see that the way the world thinks, or the way the is foolishness before God, but the way live our life is indicative to what we are yielding ourselves to. And the scripture says to be carnally minded, or to walk according to the dictates and the mandates of the world, is death, you know, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So it's very important for us to give our bodies, you know, consecrate ourselves, set ourselves apart, you know, put ourselves like anything, any dead weight that so easily beset, just get rid of them and walk according to the Spirit of life which is in us. And the verse 2, which is where I want to come into, is, it says, and be ye not conformed to the world, be ye not fashioned according to the dictates of the world. But it says, well, be transformed, be metamorphosized, pretty much form a new structure, or a new, or let the kingdom of God find expression on our minds. It says, be not conformed to the world. That means to be fashioned like the world, but we should be conformed. Well, we should be transformed. We should, the kingdom of God should transform our mindset, or the pillars of the kingdom of God should begin to find expression in our mind, you know, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, by the renovation. That is by removing those things which do not profit us, or those things which are, will I say, barriers or hindrances, you know, to the will of God. It says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Then it says that you may be able to what? that you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we see that when we fashion our mind, or when we do things according to the world, we begin to lose focus, or we begin our sense of perception or our sense of discernment is skewed. We begin to think like the world. When a situation comes, instead of us to think as spiritual beings, we begin to discern it according to our carnal mind. Meanwhile, we ought to change our mind by the scriptures as the word of God comes into us by faith, because it's like faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As we read the word of God, we begin to see, oh, this is how I ought to behave as a Christian. Oh, I can ask. If I lack wisdom, the Lord will give me wisdom. Oh, I can pray to know the will of God. So we see that all these things are very, very important. It's important the way we think pretty much influences, or the what we let sink in our mind pretty much influences the way we perceive the world. Hallelujah. It says, for be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. So to prove or to test what is that will of God, what is God saying in this time. And as believers, that is very, very, very key. And going back to the theme of our discussion, we must see that we've not believed in cunningly devised fables. Jesus died for us and he resurrected. There are principles littered all around scripture, whereby, as we spoke before, you know, we don't look at our so-called circumstance. We don't let what we are seeing now to determine the way we feel or the way we act. But we ought to look into the lens or the scope of the Spirit and take what is God saying in this time, you know, take it on and say, oh, this is what I choose to live by, and these things will bring forth fruits. And we see by the reading of the word, when we spend time with the word, when we spend time, you know, in our devotion, in our communion with God, when we have that constancy with the Lord, we see that the dust or the things that settle down in our hearts, be it unbelief and all of these things, begin to be erased or eroded gradually until, you know, we are able to perceive, or until we are able to discern what God is saying. And Jude also speaks, Jude 1 verse, I believe 20, speaking of faith now. Because it says, since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffered violence, but the violence take it by force. So this kingdom we see, you know, or this kingdom or this lifestyle, sometimes you may come back, you know, there are so many questions, so many contradictions. Sometimes so many things happen that are a contradiction to what we believe in. Or sometimes you're like, God, why did you allow this? Or why did you do this? Or why are all these things happening? You know, we'll address that later on. But it's very important to look at things from the scope or from the lenses of the Spirit, from the lenses of Scripture also. And Jude also speaks of building up our faith. It says, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So we see there are three things, you know, there are three things that help us build faith. Number one is prayer. Number two is the word. Number three is also meditation. Meditation and prayer can be mingled together. When those three things find expression in a believer's life, we see that the kingdom of God begins to find fruits, or the fruits of the of righteousness, peace, or joy. You know, they are renewed when we go to the place of prayer. It's renewed when we go to the place of meditation of the word. It's also renewed when we meditate, you know, just being in the presence of the Lord. A very, very good example of this is the scripture that says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, they shall mount up on wings like the eagle. They shall walk and they shall not faint. I believe that's Isaiah chapter 40, verse 30 or so. Let me just open that so we can just take something out of that, because very, very important. The words that have been coming, we see them. I think Ibre a while back spoke about prayer. It's very important for us to give ourselves to prayer. People of the kingdom of God must have a constant communion with the King. Just as anybody or any place when they go to colonize a certain country, you know, the lifestyle of the precepts that the king or that monarch has set, you know, must find expression also in those places. And also by going to and fro, by asking God, oh God, what do you think concerning this? Then God begins to give us a pattern. Oh God, the world told us when we are sick, you know, we should swallow pills or we should do this. Then God is saying, you know, he's Jehovah Rapha, you know, or God is saying, said this sign shall follow them that believe. He's saying they are in my name, they shall cast out devils, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We see that God or the kingdom of God does not depend on the things of this world, because the things of this world are very frail and fragile. Medicine is failing people in so many places, even the rich, those who can so-called buy themselves anything. You know, you see medicine failing them. But we see that in the kingdom of God, there's provision for everything. There's provision for sound health, good health, and a sound mind. Anything we're going through, be it your business, be it anything you do, you must go back to your source. You must go back in prayer. God, should I do this? Should I buy this car? Should I go to this place? What should I do? We see that God will give us a clear direction that won't work according to our senses. Oh, everybody now is buying Bitcoin. Let me go and buy Bitcoin. God may be telling you to go and open a barbing saloon, and that is where your source, or that is where your change or your blessing will come from. So we see that God has given us provision. There's provision in this kingdom for everyone, and each and every one of us must find expression in everything, or in that place that God has brought us in. Some of us have the gift of healing. Some of us have the gift of prophecy. We must take those things very, very serious. We must stir up those gifts within us. As Paul was speaking to Timothy, he said, do not forget to stir up the gifts that were imparted on you by the laying on of hands. Everyone in this body has a thing, or has a cent or 2 cents to add. And when we come as a body together, when someone is feeling sick, for example, someone who has given themselves to healing, or who has gone out, you know, prayed for the sick, prayed for their own headache, when we go to such and one, or when we even come to that person, or when that person is praying, you begin to see that the Lord is revealing, oh, somebody is sick here, go and do this. We see that the body would walk in harmony. It's very important, when my brother was praying for that, each and every one of us to find expression as God has called us. It's very, very key, because this body would not work, it won't work effectively if we are not tearing up those gifts. That's why we see the things that are happening. We come to prayer and everything corporately. We pray, as I said, that is the tip of the iceberg. What we do in our closets is very equally important. We cannot give ourselves to movies the whole day. We cannot give ourselves to Mount Zion movies and neglect prayer and neglect what they call it, intercession, or neglect evangelism. How do we know that the princes indeed of this world are already subject to us? How do we know that we've overcome, or the princes of this land have been bound, if we don't go and evangelize? How do we know that, oh, we can actually heal if we do not take time to pray for those who are sick? How do we know that demons are subject to our name if we don't go and cast them out? These are things that God wants us to do in this time. He wants us to stir up those gifts in our private place, in the place, whether corporately or privately. God wants us to give ourselves fully to his cause, to give ourselves in the place of prayer, in the place of meditation, to fully build ourselves up. Because by praying in the Holy Ghost, we know that we are building up our most holy faith. By reading of the word, by meditation, we are renewing our strength. We are taking from what God is speaking expressly unto us, and we are beginning to and those things will begin to find expression in our life. That is how faith is being built up. When you go to that first person and you pray for them and they are not healed, you know, as we've spoken before, we are not in this kingdom the violent take it by force. You go to the next person, you pray for that person. If that person gets feel, then you're like, oh God, or you're like, oh wow, it's encouraging even to your faith. You go and you persist over and over again until those gifts are stirred up. That's what Hebrews chapter 5 will say. It said, strong meat belongs to them who by reason of use have their senses exercised, even in the things of the Spirit of God. We must have our senses exercised gradually till we go into the place of strong meat, whereby when you stand and prophesy, it is thus saith the Lord. And as you speak, when you prophesy gradually, it may be vague, but at some point it shall be coming with pinpoint accuracy, because you've mastered those things that the Lord has put in your hand. You're diligent to the things which God has put in your hand. We must be diligent. If not, the things that the so-called 1 cent, it's so funny that the parable of the talents, the person with the little, with the smallest of all, went and buried it, and it was taken away from him. Therefore, in this time, whatever God has put in your hand, whatever God has put in your charge, you must stay and you must build up for the times that are coming. The times that are coming, there's a wave coming, and we must be built up as a church. We must be strong. Everyone is important. Everyone is important. God is saying over and over again, when I go to my secret place to pray, God is saying everyone is important. His people must know him. His people must know him, from the greatest to the littlest. All of us must know God. If not, we'll come into a situation whereby we are famsing God, whereby in public it's like, oh, you know, we are praying. But when we go out, we are living our lives for ourselves. That's not what God wants from us. He wants us to return and build ourselves, so that when anything comes, when trials and temptations, when sicknesses come, it's ironic that my sister is actually working on research, because this is not to put fear, but it's news that has gone out. You know, bacteria, for example, it says that there are resistant bacteria, or bacteria are becoming resistant to antibiotics, even the strongest antibiotic. You know, I think she's doing a research to find a cure, you know, or another way to bypass antibiotics, or to bypass this so-called bacteria that are beginning to become resistant. And I mean, when I was talking to her, I said, oh, that means you cannot have brain surgery or something like that. She was even like, brain surgery is even pushing it. You know, a little cut, if you get infected, it can be fatal. You know, so we see that science in its own vein, or medicine, has its shortcomings. Medicine does not have all the answers. Medicine, yes, can be a tool, you know, to help and whatnot, but it doesn't have all the answers. Why are we going for that which is imperfect, or that which helps a little bit, when we have a one that is perfect, stored up in the heavens for us, whereby we can make requests? It says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Many of us here have the gift of healing. It must find expression in us. Many of us, we've heard so many wonderful words, words of knowledge, saying, oh, God will use you for this. But if you do not take time to build up those gifts, if you do not take time to go out in the field, if you do not take time either in your walk, God has given us words to that in our walk will be a light, or do something like that. You know, if we hide our light, you know, many people will not come into the knowledge of God, or many people will not even know of this kingdom. We as God's children must be unapologetic. As I like how Paul said it, he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus, for it's the power of God unto salvation, to anyone that believes, to the Jews, to anyone that believes. He said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. How can the righteousness of God be revealed if we're hiding ourselves? How can the righteousness of God be revealed if we're giving ourselves to meat and drink? We're giving ourselves to the comforts of this life, sitting down and neglecting our places, or the places which God has called us in ministry wise, or anything in prayer. Some of us, we've been put, or burdens have come upon our hearts to do certain things, but we neglect them. Today is the day that we return back to those things, so that we won't come and be as those who are trying to, or the unwise virgins, whereby we lose oil in the time whereby we should be having oil enough to go on with the activities of God. It will be too late for us to go and start buying oil when sickness, or when something hits, when situation or the tides of life hits. Is that when you want to go and start praying? I remember a situation that happened a while back. someone came to me and for prayers. God knows that my prayer that day, I knew that I didn't really help the I didn't feel prepared. I felt like whatever I said or whatever I uttered, I didn't even believe what I was saying. But that is, I mean, we now have time to build ourselves, to take those words, you know, that we see, meditate on them until they become truth for us. Because a time will come where the world will seek for answers. When they come to you, is that when you want to go and start building up your most holy faith? Is that when you want to go and start saying, God, how would these things be? We need to start from the beginning. Now is the time. Whenever you hear the word of God, that time is the time, or the time, or now is the time that we go back into our closets. We go back and we begin to look back at what God is saying. You know, he said, in my name, dish them, those who are sick will be healed. At the laying on of hands, demons will be cast out to as many as are tormented. If those things are not finding expression, we need to go back to the word and ask God, like, God, this is what you've said. How would these things be? And that is what the word of God is saying today, that the kingdom of God must find expression in us, that faith must be built up, that we should not, if not, so many challenges and circumstances will come and we'll be questioning God. Sometimes we pray, we ask God, we've been praying for this, we've been doing this. And okay, I saw a write-up on Facebook and it's really spoke volume. Those that are doing evil things, they've dedicated their life to do it. Babalawo is dedicating himself strictly for the work of wickedness, helping those who would amass wealth in this world, you know, making many billionaires. But he himself is not a billionaire, giving himself fully to those spirits. How much more believers in this day and age? Believers want so much comfort. Believers, when they don't feel like praying, they're like, oh, you know, maybe it's not the will of God for me to pray. There's something a preacher or someone said. He said, when you don't feel like praying, when you don't feel like worshiping, when you don't feel like reading the word, that is when you're even meant to, you know, ask for grace to help, to go through that situation. Because we are moving in violent times. It says the kingdom, since the days of John the Baptist, even up till now, the kingdom of God is suffering a barrage, but the violent will take it by force. The kingdom of God is suffering bombardments from one sort or the other, but we must be firm as those people, or you even just taking example from all those priests, but in a good light. You know, who consecrate themselves to evil. Let us consecrate ourselves to doing good. Because it is not fair when so many people have been praying, doing so many things, enchantment over this land, day and night, without ceasing. You know, and then we just come and we last, sometimes we don't even pray seriously. You know, we just pray, oh God, take over these things. I'm just giving an example, an analogy here. You know, God, we pray for this land, and then you forget to pray for the land for a long time. Then you come, after so many things have happened, you come back, you know, all you, and you pray for the land again. Meanwhile, people are giving themselves diligently for wickedness. Let us also give ourselves diligently for good, because we know good shall triumph over evil. Our God is supreme. All other gods are beneath our God. God is higher and lifted up. There's none that is as great as our God. So when we ask for prayer, when we diligently seek the Lord, we should take example as the importunate woman who bombarded that judge over and over and over again until, you know, he pleaded her cause. And that's the kind of people that God is looking for in this time. People who would give themselves, not just corporately. You know, corporately, we can do so many things. We can come, pray, and do everything. But what we do in our closet matters. That's why when we see the land the way it is, sometimes it's a reflection of not what we do corporately. I believe corporately we pray a lot. But sometimes a reflection of what are we doing with our private time. When we spend so much time on the YouTubes, on the Netflix, on the FaceTimes, you know, what are we using our time to do to push the kingdom of God forward? So this is what the message is. the just shall live by his faith, shall live by what he strongly believes in. Anything, I mean, I don't know what you believe in now, but we see that the faith is from one measure to another measure. The Bible in Romans chapter 8 says, to every man is given a measure of faith. So we have a measure of faith. It said, if your faith is as a mustard seed, we see that faith then can be built up. You know, faith can be built up. So we see that we need to be very, very diligent to the little measure that God has given us. We should give ourselves to praying in the Holy Ghost or prayers. We should give ourselves to the Word. We should give ourselves to meditation. We should give ourselves solely that these things which God has said shall find expression, because we've not believed in a lie. We've not believed in cunningly devised fables. These things are real. And this is the charge to the house today, that all of us must find expression, no matter how little we may see ourselves. It's funny how the littlest parts actually mean the most. The parts that we cannot see, like our brain, like the nerves connecting our bodies, those things, when they get severed, the so-called things that we can see outwardly begin to suffer. So whether it's the ministry of prayer, whether it's the ministry to even organization of things, organization skills, whatever it may be, please, this is a charge from the Lord that it must find expression, because the house must be stand firm. The house must stand sure. Because when one person is going through one sickness, as the analogy I used, you know, of the leg and everything, you know, we might be feeling headache, or we might feel, or a lymph node may come and cause a little bit of discomfort. So this is the charge of the Lord in this hour. I believe the Lord will give us grace and much more explanation. And as we go, maybe rewatch the message or something, that God will speak to us individually on what we ought to do, and that whatever barriers or limitations that we've set, whether knowingly or unknowingly, as we go to the Word is our only authority, that won't be doing the things that we delight in anymore, but we shall do the things that God delights in, that our will will be to do the will of the Father, that we of ourselves will find ourselves incapable of doing things except that which we see the Father do. That is the word of the Lord, you know, to this house in this time. And I believe all the questions that we've been throwing at God, you know, why are things like this? Why are this thing, you know, as we give ourselves diligently to seeking his face, not just corporately, but even more importantly in our closets, that we'll begin to get answers, or we'll begin to see changes. You know, we'll begin to see people grow in the gift of healing, because this time indeed is a time of healing. I strongly perceive that this hour is a time of healing, and the Lord indeed would endue his church with power to overcome everything, and the kingdom of the Lord will be established first in us and then also to those around us, that indeed each and every one of us will find a full cause of expression, that God will begin to mold us, walk in us, change the way we think, change our orientations, that won't look to the wisdoms of this world anymore, but we'll begin to look at the wisdom of God. We'll begin to look at the wisdom of God, and we'll be able to see what God is saying to us, and we'll be able to carry it out. So that is the burden of the Lord for this hour, and I believe that God would walk in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Oh yes, this is the word of the Lord. And before I forget, there was I really strongly perceived this, you know, while I was even ministering, I know that God is highlighting, you know, in some of us, you know, just igniting passions that might have been dead, because we see that when we do not use the talents that God gave us, you know, some of them, they begin to, it's not, God's gifts are without repentance. So, but some of them begin to, you know, dust settles on it, and we need to stir them up. So I see the Lord just stirring up, you know, in the hearts of some people, stirring up passions or things or leadings that he has put in them, that they take it very, very diligently in this time. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Bro, Chidera.